Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is Tuesday. It's the John and Wayne Show. And man, we are going to be putting our BS filter on full swing today as we sift through owners meetings. We got owners press conferences. Kyle Shanahan. Stuff is flying hot. Wayne, how you doing?
I'm good. Today is April Fool's Day. Happy April 1st to everybody out there. I woke up to Brandon Ayuk being traded for 2 6-round picks.
I closed that damn chat, and I will not open it again for weeks.
At least for the rest of the day, right? Yeah. You just got to get through the rest of this day, you know.
So thankfully that did not happen. Brandon Ayuk is stay put. That was an April Fool's joke. Damn you for getting me. But we do have a lot of information, a lot of new information. Kyle Shanahan talked for about 30 minutes. Jed York, you know, talked for a while. We've got rule changes. We've got questions from Twitter. We've got draft talk. We've got. And Michael, the Shanahan press conference this morning, will we have a kicker battle in training camp come via free agency in the draft? So here's kind of what happened with that. Kyle was asked, one of the first questions, Mayoko came out swinging. Can you talk about this horrible kicker? He didn't say that. Can you talk about Jake Moody? And what was said was, quote, Kyle Shanahan said, quote, more likely add a veteran after draft day. And then another quote, quote, it will be a serious competition, end quote. Let's start it off with some kicker talk. What are your thoughts? Jake Moody, kicker competition.
Help, I mean, this is how we ended the season. We said that this is what needed to happen. And so we said that at the end of the season, the 49ers need to bring in another kicker. If they're not going to release Jake Moody, bring in a guy that he can compete with and see what happens from there. Like, make him earn the job. Don't just hand it to him, right? And if he beats out the veteran kicker, depending on who that guy is. If he ends up winning the job, then we could start really putting and hoisting the blame if things go south on Kyle Shanahan. Like, this is what you said. You said you wanted a competition. I'm all for a competition at just about every position. Hell, I like Mac McCorkle Jones being here because I think that's going to be some type of competition, even if it is for quarterback too. But at the end of the day, competition, it breeds champions. So, like, bringing somebody in here that can light a fire under his leg, under his ass, under whatever it is, and he has to get mental tough. I don't know how else you get mental tough. I'm the type of person, John, put me through the fire, leave me there, and if I make my way out, you got a motherfucker. You, like, you know, you got one. You got a real one. Like, you know what? If I don't make it out, you were right. If I make it out, you were wrong. Like, you know what?
That's what Mayoko kind of pressed him on. It's like, well, Jake Moody's been a good practice kicker. He's been really bad in pressure situations. And so Kyle's like, look, this is going to be a serious competition. And if you're having a veteran come in that can take your job, and if you can perform in that in training camp and practices in the preseason, then we think that's the best you can do. So here's my question to the faithful and to you, Wayne. Let's say they bring in a veteran kicker after the draft, which I think they will do, which I'm happy because that means they're not going to draft another kicker like a dumb team would. But if Jake Moody wins the competition, are you okay with him being your kicker moving forward into the regular season?
I mean, if it's a competition and he wins, yeah. I mean, he wins the competition. Like, you know,
49ers,
what I mean?
Always put their foot on the scale just a little bit types of situations.
They do. And I get Jake Moody. He's responsible for points and situations and things like that. So it's a big thing. It's a big deal, in my opinion. And so if he wins the competition, then he wins the competition, and then we're all in on him. It's first of all, let's just be clear. He's a third round pick. He was a compensatory pick, and Kyle Shanahan walks away from these third round picks more than any coach in the NFL. If the competition,
he doesn't care about him.
He doesn't care. If the competition is what it is, he ain't the only one that might be competing as a third round pick from that draft. I'll leave it at that. But my point is, if he wins the competition, I think it says a couple of things. It means that they're gonna go forward with Jake Moody. They trust that he's gonna be whatever. Two, that backup quarterback, backup kicker, whoever they interviewed or whatever, tested out, came in camp, whatever, he's gonna be on speed dial. I don't think it's going to be like a going away situation. You earned a job, but listen, you got one chance, an opportunity to mess up, and I'm speed dialing this guy right back in here. So
yeah, and I've been saying for a long time, Jake Moody is on a rookie contract. If you cut him,
okay, I was going there next.
Zero cash. Mm-hmm. That has been the theme of every single release, not cap. We have made moves that hurt the cap but only benefited cash this entire offseason. Cutting Leonard Floyd did not help you cap-wise. Cutting Malik Collins did not help you cap-wise. Only helped you cash-wise. That's it. That is what the driving force is. So if you want to know why Jake Moody is not cut, it's because the owner gets no cash back. Rookie Correct. Contracts are almost fully guaranteed. It will help you cap-wise. So if you did cut Jake Moody, you would save $1.4 million against the cap. 1.2 this year, 1.4 next year. But again, the 49ers have close to $40 million cap space they're not going to use.
Correct.
So cap does not matter. And so
it never did. I've been trying to tell y'all that for the longest. Doesn't matter.
Not with how this team's structured. It's not. And no. So whenever you hear Jed York say, oh, well, we had to because the cap. No, that's a flat out lie with the way this team is structured currently. Flat out lie. So that is also why you're not going to cut Jake Moody, who deserves to be cut, but you keep him because the owner gets to save cash. That's what it is all about. That's what it's all about. Look at Rusty. He says, put me in a locked room with him and he'll come out broken or mentally tough. Rusty don't play.
I just throw him in one of those burning buildings that you have to go out and save and rescue and see if he comes out. That's it. That's it. Man. That's how you do it. Like for me,
I got asthma, man. I ain't gonna make it out.
You better figure it out. Better wet some paper towel or something. Put it over your mouth. Breathe, breathe. You got to get out like that for Jake. I don't know how to prepare him. I don't know how he could prepare himself to be more mentally tough. Now, to be fair, We do. He was injured. He did get injured last year. I don't know how much that affected his play. We do know when players get injured in football, some players can play through certain pain levels and pain tolerances, and some players can't. He was out there. He was messing up, and he's got to eat it. But let's see what happens. The good news is we're bringing in competition. They listen to us. We've mentioned that several times, even myself. And nobody probably is a better, bigger Jake Moody person than me. And even I'm the one saying, got to bring in some competition because I don't know how to make this guy tough. Some kids are tough as nails, and some kids are tough as not tough. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. Now, oh, I didn't even know this, Wayne. Peachy says, good afternoon, John and Breezy. Congratulations to your team. Texas and UConn, we got a women's sports bar. We got to think of a bet that we put down.
Well, first,
on
we got to make it. When we get to this game, all right, because y'all got to play. We got to play UCLA. Y'all got South Carolina, right?
South Carolina, good.
Yeah, I mean, everybody good. Yeah, we the only number two seed left. Everybody's a one seed. So I'm just saying, we get to the big dance. We get to the final game. Then we could talk.
Dude, our teams are always playing against each other, Wayne. What's up with that?
I wish it was the 49ers
winning. Mavericks.
I don't care about any of the other teams. I don't give a fuck about any of these other teams than the Niners. And we're on the same team for the Niners. Maybe I need to join a different team and then we could play each other or something. I don't know. But damn, can we get a Lombardi? What's up, Paul?
I love it. Paul's the best, man. I love whatever, Paul. We had Paul on the show yesterday. He was incredible.
Oh, he's always incredible. And he knows his stuff, too. I get a lot of comments. I got a comment in my I love talking trash, right? So I got a comment in my comment section about it's hard to listen to him because he clearly gets information wrong about former players. And I was like, what did I get wrong? And he talked about D Ford. So he told me D Ford was 6'2", 240, right? And I'm like, maybe I got D Ford's height wrong because he clearly was 250. So, like, he was wrong about the weight. I might have been wrong about the height. I might have said he was 6'3", 6'4", but
6'2", 252 at the combine.
So if you're watching John's show, you're wrong, buddy. Even though I told you you were wrong in my in replies. So I'll get some information wrong, and it's okay. I stand to be corrected. You guys know that, right? I'm not going to bite your head off. I hope you know. I hope y'all know that. Love you guys.
Look at Ty. He says, I'll lend you my asthma pump.
Oh,
John.
He'll throw it up.
That's
it,
what's up.
I can feel like it'll be a episode of like Ren and Stimpy or something. And like you just throw, and this has never been an episode, but I can see Ty throwing the pump through the burning building. John catches it with his eyeballs.
I'm just saying, man.
And then he can breathe. Breathe easy.
You know what's funny is I had asthma my whole life till I moved to California, and then I didn't have problems anymore. So maybe I was just allergic to Texas.
Texas.
anyway, all that being said, let's talk about the center, okay? Jake Brindle. This seems to be where a lot of the discourse, and I read your post this morning, and I thought that it was unbelievably written and well said.
Oh, thank you.
I was just like, dang, Wayne, incredible. So I don't want to say anything else besides the fact here is what was said about, this is Kyle Shanahan, quote, Jake played well, quote, I think Jake's up there, quote, Jake does protection as well as anyone in this league, and then said Hennessy will not be fighting or does not see Hennessy as competition for that center spot. So it seems like they're really, really happy with Jake Brindle. Wayne, take it away.
We have two more seasons with this stuff right here, man. Two more, right? 2026 is when he's done. So through the 2026 season, so 2027 is when we can move on. Look, I don't think Jake Brindle is good, but I'm not an offensive line connoisseur. All I know is he's trash. At the end of the day, like he's the worst or the weakest link on the 49ers offensive line. And to not put, in my opinion, a former fifth-round pick, and Colton McKivitz as a weak link, like, that's tough because he's weak too. But at the end of the day, he was a lot stronger than this weakest link, and I don't understand what kind of cap Kyle is on because there's no way you can tell me and maybe you can't hurt these guys' feelings, but I can because I don't give a fuck. Like, at the end of the day, they don't pay my bills, and the worst thing they could do is block me. But at the end of the day,
not if you're on the field.
Right. Oh, where's my drums? But at the end of the day, John, there's no way you can tell me or Kyle can sit there and say those words that came out of his mouth. Now, like, again, I'm not expecting him to say that he's bad, but at least say there's going to be competition. You said there was going to be competition for the kicker, but you gave this guy a pass? What the? Jake Moody wasn't even the worst graded kicker. You got the worst graded center in football. You made no means of going to improve in that position. And now I'm kind of nervous. We might not even draft the guy. Bye-bye, Jarrett. Listen, I loved you, man. I think you're the most athletic guy in this draft, man. But Jarrett Wilson would not be a 49er. My dreams just got crushed right in that whole freaking statement. Like, literally. I'm sorry.
Think about all the centers that have come out in past drafts that are incredible. Tanner Bordellini in like the fifth round, 49ers met with him. No, he's starting center now. Zach Frazier, you know, you can go on and on and on. Like, we have had so many great centers come through the drafts the last 3 to 4 years. This isn't a great center class, but I do like Jared Wilson. I would love for him in the third round, but I'm with Michael right here. Yeah, Kyle won't be drafting a starting center. I do not expect that to happen. And he even went further to say that he sees Matt Hennessy as competing for the left guard spot.
So you got three guys. Barch, who can play center. Barch, Burford, Hennessy.
And Zakil.
I thought he was more of a right guard backup. But hey.
Nah, he said.
He did? My bad.
He did. He missed him.
Well, psh, psh, psh.
Now let's transition into Burford talk, which I thought was interesting. He said Burford is capable of playing all the positions.
That's true.
Where can he compete and where can he contribute? Or with phrases that he said. So like swing tackle, if they don't get a tackle, do you put him at guard?
Yep.
Like April is financial literacy month. That's right. They made a whole month reminding you to finally take control of your money. Good news, you don't need 30 days. Acorns makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future in just 5 minutes. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you and your money goals. You don't need to be rich. Acorn lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, even if it's only spare change. I love Acorns, and I've used it for over 3 years now because if I'm busy, it takes care of it. If I have time to spend a lot of time in research, that option's there too. So, sign up now and join over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $25 billion, with a B, billion dollars with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/49ers, that's 49ERS, or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/49ers. Springtime is here, and baseball season is officially underway. Don't miss your chance to add your favorite players from the diamond in your Prize Picks lineups. Whether it's strikeouts, RBIs, or first inning runs, take your pick of more or less for your shot to win up to 1,000 your cash today. On Prize Picks, you can mix and match players' projections from different sports, combine your favorite baseball players with your players from basketball, hockey, esports, and much more. Also, Prize Picks offers Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard, and more for quick, easy deposits into this sports season. So, sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. So head over to prizepicks.com or you can go to the app, download the app today and use code 49ers, 49ERS, to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, go to prizepicks.com or download the app and use code 49ers to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. Carvana makes car buying easy. Isn't that right, hun? Dax?
Sorry, did you know about this 7-day money-back guarantee?
A week to evaluate seat comfiness, you say?
A week of terrain tests? Yeah, I can test the brake pad resistance at variable speeds.
Make sure all the kids' stuff fits nicely.
Make sure our stuff fits nicely.
Oh, the...
Right. Still need to buy the car. Getting ahead of ourselves here.
Buy your car with Carvana today.
That Burford is Graysabel, who's coming out this year. That's where he is now. He's versatile, and the only position I don't see him playing is center. But I think he can play both tackles, and I think he can play both guards. I don't know if he plays them well at a high elite level, but then again, I thought he came in last year at the left guard spot and did a pretty dang good job. And I also like the kid that we signed, Austin Pleasance. I like him as well. So there are some offensive line pieces that Kyle can hopefully put together, like you know, like some paper mache crap or whatever. But at the end of the day, like, I don't know how you don't start around the center. And I look, let me be the first to say, John, I know that it is difficult to play center in the NFL, and it's most difficult to play center for Kyle Shanahan. Like, I get it. I think Kyle just feels like he has a guy that's been doing it for the past 2 or 3 years, and he's just not going to move on from it until he can't. I think that's where Kyle is with it. I think.
Yeah. Look at Nick. I love this. What's a better April Fool's joke? Brindle gets cut or Moody gets cut? Let's speak it into existence, faithful. They'll find work somewhere else. I think there's 0% chance of either taking place. Sadly, I would prefer Brindle because I think center's such a big deal. And yeah, right here, you know, stay with the super chat, silent. How many more quarterback injuries, failed 3rd-and-1, you know, blinders, terrible in the goal line, terrible short yardage, stops early every play. One of my favorite things, and this is a me issue, one of my favorite things as a coach was play through the echo of the whistle. Like, you don't stop when you hear the whistle. You give it one more count. Like, whistle, count. You got another step. You got another punch. You got another something. Jake Brindle's the opposite. That dude stops after 2 seconds, no matter what's happening with the play, every single time. And, yeah, like, is he as bad as I'm alluding to? Probably not. But he sure as hell ain't good. I posted the Inglorious Bastards picture.
Yeah.
like Kyle Shanahan saying, like, Jake Brindle's really good. He's up. Uh-huh. Like that. I don't know. But he's not going to bash his own players. And he should.
No, He shouldn't. But from my optimism standpoint, maybe he'll improve. Maybe the injuries were weighing him down. Maybe he'll just be better. Maybe another year in the system, he'll be better. Because I feel like before he came to Kyle Shanahan, he wasn't even playing center. So I'll give him that. But he's got to be, he's just like we say that every player that goes out there, Debo, when he was here, got to be better. I need everybody to find a way to be 1% better. And what is Jake Brindle going to do to be 1% better?
How many 33-year-olds have get improvement in the NFL?
I didn't say it was realistic. 33. I know. I mean, shoot, I'm 43, and I feel like I'm getting better at it. It's better speed, my running. I'm getting better. I'm eating better. You can get better. You sure can. Got to figure it out. He's terrible in run blocking, and he's terrible in pass protection. So at the end of the day, like how? And you know my biggest thing with Brindle is sometimes just on the football field, he looks lost.
Like, well, he's always turning around.
Like, how you looking lost, bro?
Never watch the ball, right? My all-time watcher comment. Now, I like this about Big Papa. Big Papa's always a positive guy, good friend. What's up, brother? Real question, what does Brindle do well? He is tough as hell.
Yeah, he's definitely tough. Yeah,
he plays through injuries, bumps, bruises.
He's an Iron Man, sort of.
He is. He's tough as whatever. He understands the calls, and he makes it right for everybody else most of the time. He's really, really good at that. He is great for the first count and a half of every single play.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of what PFF and a lot of these things great. He gets to where he's supposed to go all the time. He just has no functional strength.
And he doesn't finish.
Champions.
We said it at the same time. That's his biggest thing. He can't finish.
But he ain't going nowhere, and he's going to be starting this year, so get used to it, no matter how much you hate it. I hate it. Wayne hates it. We hate it.
I mean, what can we do? Well, I mean, what do you want us to do? Like, bicker, beef? All we could do is critique it and praise him when he does something right. I'll be the first to give him his accolades if I see any type of a pancake, any type, just a block. Pancake. He ain't even got to get the guy down on the ground.
He just trips. The defender trips. I'll give him credit, too. And it's not like it's all bad. It's not all bad. The problem is... He's silent. He says, Roids, no one's going to drug test a mediocre center.
Hey. But John, I think when he asked you what did he did well, and when you said that he was tough, that I need that mentality, but better execution from everybody on the offensive line. I feel like the offensive line should be like the Knights guard. Like, they're the first watch, right? Like the Knights watch, whatever you call them. Like, they should be the ones that are just, yo, you're not getting through this wall.
Like, he ain't got that at all. You could see him in like the Arizona game quit, literally on the field, just stop.
Don't say
like,
that.
He quit several times. Okay. Fumble, bouncing around. He ain't going to get it. But I will say this. If there was one thing I could do to like talk to Brindle or the coaching staff, I would just ask, can you just encourage him to block to the whistle? Because I feel like that would help him a lot instead of just stopping halfway through the play. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't want to focus on the negative. Let's go to some of the other things that Kyle brought up. He said Mitch Wisnowski has checked out fine and is doing real good now, whatever that means. So do you think the back issue and Mitch, like, what are your thoughts on the punting situation? Do you stay with them? Do you move on?
He's still under that contract, right? Like,
no guaranteed salary left at all.
Yeah. I if he holds out, does it hurt you? No. Right. You just get another guy. So me personally, if he's healthy, I think Mitch is the guy, right? I think it comes down to, like, especially with special teams, if these players are healthy. And for some reason, Brant Boyer isn't really checking the release for him. You know, he's not trying to get rid of him. So I feel like he's coming in there with a couple of players to work with your specialist as far as your kicker and your punter. He's coming in with some guys that he might be the key to the special teams. He might be able to light the fire, Rusty, under some of these players' behinds and get them whipped up into, you know, shape. You know what I'm saying? Mentally. So we'll see. Like, I'm optimistic about certain positions. I'm even optimistic about our good old guy, Jake Brendel. I mean, I don't care where he's ranked. He just doesn't look good.
Yeah. And I will say this. The one thing about Mitch Wishnowsky, he's the best holder on field goal unit. I've been saying this for 4 years now.
Yes.
That is valuable, especially whenever you have kickers that, man, these guys aren't that good. So anyway, I think that's very, very important. A couple other just quick quotes that or topics from Kyle. He anticipated all the players leaving and added no new ones. Whenever he's asked, man, how do you feel about losing so many players and not adding any starters? He said, yeah, we anticipated that. So this is part of the quote-unquote plan is not replacing any talent whatsoever through free agency. That's what they are. He said, quote, too early to tell, end quote. Talking about Brandon Ayuk coming back. Too early to tell when he comes back.
Of course it is, though, right? Like, I mean, you're hoping he comes back sometime midseason. That's kind of like the FLIR reports of what's going on. That's kind of what you expected anyway. October, November, December. Those are kind of like your target dates. I don't see Brandon Ayuk playing anywhere else, at least for this year, other than San Francisco, especially since the injury. And so it is kind of too early to tell. I'm not in the camp where I want to rush Ayuk back. Like, I'm, you know what? Your poll question the other day, I don't like the offseason. I don't like how it's going. But I'm really starting to strap on my seatbelt and, like, sit back and enjoy this ride. Because everybody is being tested. Not just the players, the scouts, the coaching, everything. Everybody's going to be tested because they did not address this team in free agency. So they're definitely looking forward to seeing what they're going to be able to do and build and how they're going to build in the draft. So, yeah, I might dislike. I don't like what's going on this offseason because they did not get better by adding, you know, players at certain positions that they lost. But I tell you what, we're going to have to see some mother freaking development. That's number one. Hey, can we chop it up to our coaches for trying to they got to develop these players, John, at this point. And the faithful, I know they don't care about us, but I know one thing, the faithful don't shut up for nobody. They don't care who you are. And this faithful will go bananas if this team isn't competing. like, and so they got to figure out how to get this team into shape. The good thing about the San Francisco 49ers, they still have their pillars. And as long as you got your pillars, you have your foundation. And when you have your, just look at it this way. Think of buying a house, right? And the infrastructure of the house, your pillars, what's the solid parts of the house? The foundation. All right, what do you want to change? All right, let's upgrade the bathroom. Let's upgrade the kitchen. Those are the two most expensive things to upgrade. That's where the Niners are going to look into the draft and try to find some of these pieces where they're going to sit here and try to develop Kyle Shanahan's system and make it a lot better offensively and defensively. And that's what they're going to do. They brought back Salah. Salah, I need you to coach this defense. I don't give who we give you. You coach the defense. I'll make the offense better. And so I think my optimism is that the Niners are going to be okay. I might not like how they handled stuff, but I think they're going to be okay in the long run, bro. And I don't even mean like the long run, 2-3 years from now. I mean this season. I think this is going to be where you're going to stay glued to your television set because we're going to see production from players that we haven't really gotten a chance. And just look at what Juwan Jennings did. 7th-round pick, cut from the team due to COVID or whatever the situation was, brought back as a restricted free agent. All right, and then earn a 2-year contract with this extension with the San Francisco 49ers. Now he's in a contract year for real, where he could become a free agent, and he's probably going to be playing elsewhere next year too. Like, let's just keep it a buck. I'm excited to see how some of these other players are going to step up and put up this year. I'm excited. I am too.
The poll question that Wayne was referencing, I put this out. How do you feel about the 49ers offseason so far? And I gave four options. Love it, like it, don't like it, hate it. It's pretty bad. You have 18% hate it, 51% don't like it, 28% like it, 3.1% love it.
Okay.
I don't know what you could love about this and not adding one starter.
I agree.
Million cap space and I not agree. Using
it. I agree. But free agency isn't over.
It's and not. There's
still some players out there. Well, if the Niners still feel they don't go wide receiver in this draft and they want to get a guy like Elijah Moore, Amari Cooper, Tyler Lockett, there's going to still be some players available. All right. So I'm going to pump my brakes and just I've been focused on the draft. Once day one, day two, the first week of free agency was over, I was like, oh, draft time. Come, let's go.
It's done. Here's my favorite part. I think the most important thing that came from Kyle Shanahan's press conference, they asked, are you done adding veteran players? Kyle said, quote, right now, it's just the draft.
Oh.
So, like, right now, it's just the draft. So they draft, and then afterwards, what Wade just said, once that compensation pick formula no longer there are going to be some guys that you can get off the scrap heap to come in, but you don't know what positions those are going to be because this draft could go so many different ways. You got 11 picks, and you get to address all the positions, but you're not going to get starters at all the positions. And there are going to be those players that are available still, but you're kind of like...
But I like that, right? Because... Your draft needs, you got four top 100 players. I don't know how to express that, but that I'm happy. I'm a kid in the candy store when you're drafting four players that are ranked top 100. And I know that's a big number, right? Like, damn, like you getting a play. That's what we pick. So you want to get the best players in that, you know, that relevancy of the number of, you know. Yeah, give me four top of those. I wish we had five, you know. Maybe we trade down if we find a team. First of all, let me just explain how hard trading down is going to be. I know people, it's not PFF, you know, when we do it in mock drafts and they got trades already available. Teams got to want to trade up.
So I'm in this, there's this writer podcast where there's 32 podcasts for each team and we're doing a full draft and it's 4 minutes per pick, all seven rounds. It's fun, right? We're in this group chat. It's cool. Nobody is trading up.
No.
Everybody in the chat's like, hey, I want to move down. I want to move down. I want to move down. The admin came in and said, no longer, do not put you're ruining the chat. Only put in the chat if you want to trade up. Crickets for a day straight. Not one person out of 32, these are just podcasters, not one person wants to trade up in the first round so far. Nobody does.
First of all, the draft is loaded. Nobody needs a quarterback. And no one's probably, look, as much as I love Abdul Carter, I don't think he's going to be the trade-up worthy for teams. I just don't. Not when the draft is loaded with defensive edge prospects. Loaded with players at his size, has the same abilities, that aren't dealing with injuries coming into the team, coming into the year. Let's just keep it a buck. So at the end of the day, like as much as I would like the Niners to trade down, I don't see it happening. I don't. This is not a good draft for them to be able to do that because it takes the other team to want to move up. Now, if there's a stupid team out there that says, hey, Jackson Dart is the guy, or Shedeur Sanders falls and they're all in on him, or Cam Ward somehow end up being the number one pick, now we have a conversation. Now it's a little different. So I posted something earlier. I was like, listen, now if Abdul Carter happens to fall to like six,
yeah,
I might be looking to not draft 11 picks, bro. Like I might, you know what I'm saying? Because now we talking Abdul Carter, and then I think my second best edge rusher is Mike Green, but he comes with the red flag. So I might be looking to move up and not have the top four 100 picks because now you're getting that perennial player that I think personally, if we're trying to fix the defensive front, yeah, we're gonna go interior. They loaded. We can figure that out. But get that guy on the opposite side that's not built like Nick Bosa. Like, get that guy. That's young.
I want that, too.
Yeah, that's young. That's fresh. That speed, the power ratio, that has the bend, that has those physical attributes just to get to the quarterback. We'll find – we can set the edge. They can learn how to set the edge. That'll be fine. But get that guy that's going to give you sacks.
You need it. And, you know, again, talking trade, The Athletic just did a podcast, mock draft, and they had the 49ers trading up to Carolina's spot, gave up a third-round pick to get Will Campbell, which I thought was interesting. Like, I would love to have Will Campbell on this team. He's a perfect
fit. I don't
know
if I'm trading up for an offensive
lineman. I don't
think
so either.
Right?
I don't. Not when there's three options there, and Kyle doesn't care about the offensive line anyway.
That's a known fact. I think it's time for us to bite that and accept it. Third round, maybe second. Maybe we get a second round offensive lineman because the first rounder might fall and Kyle might, you know. But third,
I would love it, but I don't think the 49ers, they met with them all. That's the only thing where I'm like, well, they met with all these guys. So there's something there, but yeah. I would not be shocked at all.
If he falls to 11, maybe they go, but I'm not moving up to get him is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm with you there. Now
it's tough, John. I'm sorry. It's tough. It's a tough conversation to have because for once, can we address the offensive line with that guy? For once. We tried with Mike McGlinchey. It worked a little bit. But for once, I think drafting that offensive lineman, they got to be able to do it all, man. It can't be, oh, they're good in run blocking. They suck at pass pro. They can't have alligator arms. They can't have, like, if you're addressing.
So Will Campbell has the definition of alligator arms.
I know. So that's why I'm saying, like, you can't have any type of discrepancies in your build. I know he plays it really well, but you're going to get them big bull rushers, man, that's going to come in there with that power to the chest, and he can't get that extension. And guess what's going to happen?
Watch him against Landon Jackson.
Oh, Mike McGlinchey again? I'd be damned if I see Will Campbell get put on his tail.
Player, but still issues. Like, Will Campbell's the most athletic offensive tackle ever, but there's still issues.
But he's also not playing against NFL players yet. That's my point. So when you got strong bull guys that's been in the league 2, 3, 4, 5, 20 years, that's a difference. And I'm not saying he can't do it. What I'm saying is I wouldn't go all in and trade up for a guy that I have questions about. Right? I wouldn't do that. That's just me personally.
Yeah. I like it. Draft's going to be huge, and you're going to want to be with the faithful and celebrate with the faithful. Here's how. I am so excited. The 49ers Rush Road Trip is heading into year 6. We started back in 2019, and we're coming home to the Bay Area. For the draft, we're going to be live downtown in the North Beach area at the historic Broadway Studios for day 1 and day 2 of the NFL draft. So come join us. We're going to join the faithful live broadcast of draft picks as they are coming in live time with full TVs. We got big screens. We've got trivia. We've got giveaways and much, much more. Doors will open one hour before the draft starts on both days. And if you're coming from work, no worries. If your ticket, you buy your ticket, automatic guaranteed entrance, show up whenever you can. Kids get in free. And if you are struggling trying to get your youngsters to be more on board with the 49ers or the draft or whatever, bring them out to an event. They get in free with a ticketed adult, and we make sure our entire team knows kids come first. Every single youngster leaves with something tangible that they can tie to this experience. Come give it a shot. Tickets are currently only $20 for each day. That's it. We're not trying to make a lot of money on this. We're just trying to build a wonderful experience. So go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com. Get your tickets today for day 1 and day 2 of the NFL draft. Prices will go up, but with where they are right now, just $20 a piece and kids get in free. Join us, 49ersrushroadtrip.com. All right. I missed a couple super chats. Look at this. Nick Parr says, Brindle's going to be at the Rush draft party April Fool's. Yeah. I don't think he's coming to that party. We could have him be the bouncer, but then people would be getting through. Let's see here. Silent, appreciate you, man. He says, exclude defensive line. Wayne's laughing over here. Sorry, man. I'm sorry. I can't help it.
You listen, first of all, I'm an asshole. But I think that you take the cake when it comes to certain players, okay? That's just what it is. Like, you just take the cake, you know what I mean? And it's cool. That we should do a podcast called Two Assholes or something like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, because that's what we do. I let you have it. Sorry, YouTube.
It happens. Oh, anyway. Silent, appreciate the super chat. Excluding defensive line, what defensive player do you want? For Robert Saleh, I'm pretty sure we're going to have the same answer.
Excluding defensive line, I don't think we're going to have the same answer.
No? Okay, cool.
For Robert Saleh, you go first. I don't think we're going to have the same answer.
I want Jod Campbell.
Oh, okay, we got the same answer. I was like, I don't want to say it first because people know Wayne, this is Jod Campbell guy, and they love Jalen Walker. And I like, listen, let me just be honest. I like Jalen Walker, and I don't care about his production at Georgia. I think production, the lack of production from Georgia players is built. That's how their system is built. They rotate so many guys all the daggone time, so it's kind of hard to even build that consistency. So I think he has the physical traits, the big size. What is he, 6'2", 6'3"? I don't even want to say nobody's size unless I'm looking it up anymore. I don't want to be wrong.
I got you right now.
At the end of the day, it's something about the processing that I get from Jahad Campbell over a lot of guys. Now, he might not be as strong as a pass rushing linebacker or whatever, but he can rush the pass. I think he had 5 sacks. Again, I'm guessing off the top of my head. I'm not looking at any stats for those that are watching and want to say I don't know what I'm talking about, but I do know his processing is elite, and the kid can cover, and he has elite athleticism skills. So at the end of the day, when I think about the biggest blaring need on the 49ers defense, we got pieces to play the defensive front, but we're missing that linebacker. Like, Greenlaw's gone. He's not coming back. And so how do you replenish that? Well, you draft the best overall physical freak with production to back it up with a Jahad Campbell. Plus, he can rush off the edge, too. If you wanted to go a 3-3-5 look, you know, three linemen, three linebackers, five DBs, yeah. Sign me up. It's still nickel. Still in the nickel, right? Jahad Campbell doesn't have to leave the field.
I agree with you completely. Here's the spider chart for Jalen Walker. He's 6'1", 243, right? Now, here's the spider chart for Jahad Campbell. It's different. He is more athletic. He is 6'2 and 7/8", so right at 6'3", and 235 pounds, and a way better athlete. Better processor, more violent. I think that he is by far the cleaner player. Now, I am curious about this, Wayne. I don't know if you have your big board in front of you or if you just have it memorized.
Nope, I have it right here.
I have Jahad Campbell 8 overall. 8 overall.
I have him 10.
Okay. Yeah.
This is so cool. I like we should do a show where we compare our big boards.
Let's do it, man. When we were in middle school, we would walk to school and we had like our trapper keepers,
but yes!
We would always carry our cards with us, you know, the loose leaf, like clear pages.
Yes, sir.
And we'd carry them all and we'd walk together. It was the same three friends. We'd walk together with them, go to school, then lay them out, and we would just trade all day.
All day.
Okay. Now, where is Jalen Walker?
Okay. But see,
I'm lower on him than almost everybody else.
See, people think I hate Jalen Walker because I still have a first round. I have him at number. Oh my God, I can't find him.
Yeah,
wait a minute. No, I have him at 13, so he's still high for me.
Oh, I'm 26.
Okay,
because I don't like him as an edge. I like him as an edge player. I do not like him as a linebacker.
There you go.
But he's great. He is great.
I understand he had surgery. And so that didn't change my thought processing on him. It just didn't, because I know when he's healthy, he is the guy. And if you feel like he can't cover, we got to do a better job at showing you guys the film, because the kid can cover. It's not even about him cover. It's about how he processes the play. Like, if it starts off as a run, he knows immediately where to be. Like, if it goes to a pass, he knows immediately when to drop. It's weird. It's so dope to see the quick processing from a kid like that. I think that's dope. Now, I think he came into school as an edge rusher. He was forced to play linebacker because he wasn't beaten out. Oh, he wasn't going to get snaps over Will Anderson. And who did they have last year that got drafted? Dallas Turner? Yeah, like, so he had to play linebacker, right? And so he has these edge rushing skills, but they need to be polished. They need to be, you know what I'm saying, refined. But as a linebacker?
Yeah, and this is a bad linebacker class. This is a bad linebacker class.
I disagree with that.
Okay. But help me understand.
I disagree with that. It depends on what type of linebackers you're looking for. Because there's some really good stout Mike linebackers, and that's all they can do. Don't move them anywhere. Don't ask them to play Sam. Don't ask them to play weak side Will. No, they're just straight up Mikes, like Danny Stutzman. He's so damn stiff, I don't think he can move laterally. But I tell you what, you ain't getting by him in a run game if he's coming straight down. Now, if you got an outside zone run scheme, well, he trash. Like, right? But in a regular system, that kid is a tackling machine from Oklahoma. Like, I like him. I like Jay Higgins from Iowa. I like, there's a lot of good linebackers.
The worst, the statistically worst workout ever for a linebacker at
the workout was terrible. It was bad. It was
instincts off the charts. And so one of the things I struggle with is I don't know what to do with Jay Higgins. I don't know where to put him.
This is what I'm trying to say. How much of this stuff do you value from a workout compared to what you're watching on film? Because if you're a film guy, then stay a film guy. And I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to anybody out there. Because the film people will sit there and be like, yeah, well, I don't give a fuck what he did at the workout. He plays this fast on the football field. And so, like, that he's one of the best linebackers coming out of college. Now, he's a little older, right? But I feel like he's got the experience. And in a later round, if you go linebacker, why not give him a shot? I know these numbers are terrible as far as his workouts. Maybe he had bad breakfast. Maybe he had a cramp. I don't know.
And I'm not saying I'm out on him. I hope nobody's hearing that. You know,
I'm with NY Niners here, man. If you watch this,
the tape
kid,
is great.
The tape is amazing. So yeah,
but look at the players he's like comped to based on his workout. This is the spider chart. Jeremiah Gimmel. That's an undrafted free agent
from UNC.
The Niners signed. Yeah. And his nickname was the General. I really liked him. He couldn't maintain the league. Jeremiah Trotter Jr., not senior.
Yeah.
These unathletic. The only guy that he compares to is Adam Akeem Davis Gaither. That's the only player, and that's an App State guy. So like, okay, so let's play this. I think the fifth round is too early to draft Jay Higgins. Agree or disagree?
You said you think the fifth round is too early.
Yeah, would you take him in the fifth round?
I would take him in the fifth round any day.
Fourth round, I
wouldn't take him in the fourth round.
Okay, so we're talking a mid day three prospect that is a better football player but poor athlete. Yeah. And where are you going to put him at?
You could still put him. He's going to get a shot. I don't think he's a poor athlete on the football field. I think it's different between being a poor athlete that tests well, doing fucking exercises, to where there's a poor athlete testing well on the football field. I didn't think his drills were bad. Did you watch his drills? His drills weren't bad. Where's the fucking comps from the drills? Show me the drills.
That's our measure, right?
Well, I'm telling you, his drills were good. So I watched his combine drills compared to his combine workout. Big difference. And so, what do you want? You get him, put him on special teams. He'll probably beat out some of the linebackers that we have here. And, you know, over time, he'll grow. I think as a fifth-round pick, he could be a steal in the draft. People are going to bump him down to fifth, sixth, seventh round because of that workout, which is good for some teams. They don't got to pay him a lot of money. But give me him, because that means he's going to play with a chip on the shoulder. I really like those type of players.
And I'll say this, like, if there is one position where you can overcome poor athletic testing, it's linebackers, one of them.
Oh, like
if it's a corner or a wide receiver like that, I don't think so. But we all know Chris Borland. Like, we've lived through that roller coaster of emotion.
That makes sense.
It's so, like, instincts. Zach Thomas is like a legitimate Hall of Famer and should be. But now the NFL has changed dramatically.
It has changed. It's a different linebacking game. These guys need more speed because they got it. Some of them got to be able to cover wide receivers. Like, I get it, John. Like, the athleticism didn't show up. He didn't pass the athleticism test. So give him another athleticism test. Do I have his pro day comps? I wonder if he did the pro day. Let me see if I could pull that up while.
Yeah, did he rest on, I'm good with my numbers at the combine? my comp for him is Azeez Alshire, but super slow.
Oh, my gosh. Like, that's how he plays the football field. But that doesn't mean he can't get faster.
He can't get slower.
I hope not.
I'm with you. I agree there. I do agree. So, anyway, these are the discussions that I think we're kind of stuck with. And I love these conversations.
Oh, for sure. 100%.
That's why, like, oh, this is awesome. Look at breaking 80. This is another good conversation. If you find the pro day numbers at
I'm
any
looking
point,
at them. I'm looking for it. Yeah.
Because I'll keep this open so we can compare that across, because this is a good conversation. And, like, I believe in good football players. I believe in tape. But I think that there is some point where it's just like, man, the slowest linebacker in the entire draft.
But like, I think, like you said, the position matters, right? He didn't.
It does. If you're a corner and you're slow, I cannot have you on the field.
Yeah, because you like you corners need to be able to run. That's what's messing Will Johnson up right now, right?
I feel the same with top end speed. Like center, Willie Lampkin, I like his tape, but you're 5'10".
Yeah, the measurables is going to jack him up.
I can't do that. Yeah. I can't do it.
I understand, but he's an ox.
He's awesome. Undrafted free agent, awesome. Like, I ain't spending a draft pick on Willie Lampkin, and somebody might, but like 5'10", man. Dude, could you imagine him playing against a 6'5 defensive tackle? Like,
yeah, he didn't do the pro day. He didn't run.
Okay. He stayed on it. So I think that tells you that's what he is currently, and it could change. Now, breaking 80, I like this. Let's pivot this conversation. Thank you for the super chat. Hello, gents, in the second round. Who would you pick between safety Watts, Notre Dame, Amos Corner, Ole Miss, Swissinger, linebacker, Irsery, offensive tackle, Higgins, wide receiver? Let's try to stick between those. He says or other. I want to just stick to you because I love this. Okay, so Wayne, we're in the draft room. We're debating out which ones we need the most and what these players look like. Walk me through your thought process on how you're stacking these players based on what the 49ers need. We're sitting there at pick 43. Let's talk it out. So again, safety, Watts, corner, Amos, linebacker, Swissinger, Irsey, offensive tackle, Higgins, wide receiver.
I feel like I need to know who we went with in the first round. Like this, that.
Okay, let's say a defensive lineman because none of these guys are defensive linemen.
Okay, so that's fine. So, all right, so it depends, right? Like, where do the Niners? I think the Niners, I actually like Irsery. He's in my top 100 too. So I actually like Irsery. If the Niners were looking to get a tackle in here that can sit, doesn't necessarily have to develop, but can develop. They won't necessarily need him right now, but can come in and play on the right side or the left side, wherever you need be. So I do like Irsery. Swissinger, I feel like I can get another linebacker, right? I love his tackling ability. I think he's a dog out there. I love his story, but I feel like I'll take my chances in the fifth round and draft Jay Higgins. Amos and Watts or Higgins, like that's kind of like where I'm stuck, right? First of all, I would love for the Niners to draft a wide receiver that I believe is 6'4 and runs a 4.4. Like, god dang. Like, right? Like, give me that. And his ability to make contested catches is good.
My comp for him is Josh Gordon.
I love it. As long as he don't smoke. Well, it's different now.
You're allowed to do that now.
Yeah, but I feel like the NFL's still weird about it, right? So, I love Jay Higgins. I love Trey Amos, and I love Watts. There are other safeties that I feel like we could get later, so I'll pass on Watts at 43. So I'm stuck between Higgins and Amos. And we drafted Renardo Green last year, but getting an outside 6'2", outside corner to be a lock corner, to me, that's what he would be. He would be an outside guy. You're not going to use him inside. I really do like the Trey Amos pick. I think he's underrated in this draft. He should be a first-rounder. It's probably going to be the Amos pick. I know we went there last year. I know people feel like we might not need it. I would like to have a three-headed monster at the cornerback position, and he can kind of be what Tre'Davious White was supposed to be. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, that's who you're replenishing. That's who you're replacing. The longer, the lengthier corner, still plays like a dog, press man, zone, gives you it all. So I like the Amos pick for me.
Dude, that was awesome. That was awesome. I feel like Chris Farley on the old SNL sketches interviewing like Paul McCartney. Just like, that was awesome.
Awesome. You did the head. You did the head gesture. Just like, I know he had a headache after every time he did that.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Like,
cocaine,
that was pretty
hell of a drug, Chris Farley.
Yes, but, it is, man. Yes, it was.
So, I agree. I would also go Amos, but my big board. So I have Higgins at 39.
Okay, I'm looking at my big board now.
I have Watts 43. Swissinger 47, and then Irsey 52. So that's my ranking on my big board. Now, whenever you look at the 49ers depth chart, corner is by far the most premium position. We do not have a cornerback 3.
Premium, though, that's the key word.
And we don't have one. Right now, no. Trey Brown is our starting quarterback, cornerback 3, and he's missed 39 games in 4 years.
Correct.
I am terrified of the cornerback position, and I agree. Amos, I think probably goes in the back end of round one because he's just so damn clean.
Yeah, and especially and he might get bumped up, right? If Will Johnson runs a 4.5 at his workout, oh, Amos is going to get bumped up because he's a 4.4 guy, right? Like this is not
4.43.
Bro, this isn't done. So that's why I'm saying, like, so there's so many corners that are injury plagued. Amos isn't. Right? Amos is healthy. Amos worked out. So, like, I could see him getting pushed up into the first round, which would suck. But if he falls at 43. So, all right, can I ask a better question, Breaking 80? Let's say we go corner here, right? This is for you, Breaking 80. You don't got to pay again. Let's say we go corner here, right? Let's say Will Johnson, Ben Morrison, Trey Amos, and John, pick one more, Savon Rivell. Let's just say all four of those corners are available at 43. Who you going with, Breaking 80 and John Chapman?
So, like, okay, the medical, I'm very concerned.
Let's just say the medicals is good. They clear the medicals.
Like, then I'm taking Will Johnson. I think he's a top 10 pick if clean, but I don't have him a clean grade with three injuries to the lower body in a corner. Again, there's certain positions I could deal with injuries, but if he is, Will Johnson's a first round player. Mm-hmm. I think that if you want clean, Trey Amos is clean as a whistle. Like, that dude, you ain't got no question marks with him. Savon Rivell, major medical issues still for me as well. Benjamin Morrison, I like, but he's a back-end second-round player for me. Was there another corner you threw out there that I'm missing?
Savon Rivell from East Carolina.
Again, medical red flags for me as well. So there's one clean player, as Trey Amos. Then Benjamin Morrison.
No, he's not clean either. He's coming off of the injury.
Oh, okay. I haven't
see that. See what I'm saying? But my point, the reason why I put those three guys in there with Amos is because those guys are coming and returning off of injury, and you got a clean bill of health for a guy that to me should be a first round pick.
I'm taking Amos, unless Will Johnson. I'm 100% sure on him
now.
I don't think
Will Johnson runs a 4.4, he's going in the first round.
Yeah, he's probably going top 15. He just top has 15. Elite traits. Yeah, highest ceiling.
Yeah, yeah, I got it. It's tough. It's a tough question. But for me, thank you, Breaking 80. I love Trey Amos, man. He's one of my top five corners.
Yeah, I've got him fourth. And again, my draft philosophy, Wayne, I don't want misses. Yes. I don't want misses.
Not this early.
I'm cool with doubles, middle of the fairway. Yeah. We've got a player.
After fifth round. You get to the fifth round. Even the fifth round, I don't want misses. I'm sorry. I got expectations. I want hits. Hit. And then let's play around, right? Like, let's see if we can get some guys with specific traits that could do specific things round. We only have a six-round pick, right? So round seven. We got three of those.
Yeah, swing there. Those are your – we'll see what happens. Silent, who's to blame for missed blocks? Too many misses.
Missed blocks? I don't know if this is a reference to Brendel or McKivitz because I felt like he gave up more the most pressures. I don't know. What is he talking about? Like, I digress. I'll let John handle this one.
The numbers start with the center out. So the center will give a call based on the protection in the back if they're staying in to help or not. It's usually a blue or red or whatever. A key that gives we're blocking left, we're blocking right, numbers – whatever, based on what the defensive front is showing. It's just simple counting numbers. So pass protection is probably the most simple, but it all starts with the center for the 49ers scheme. A lot of schemes, you go back to Peyton Manning, you look at other teams, the quarterback's in charge of all that, not in Kyle Shanahan's scheme. Even, you know, Matt Ryan wasn't his MVP year. The Shanahan scheme, and it's the same throughout everywhere. It's center out. That's what it is. So most of the missed blocks go back to the center. The infamous one in the Super Bowl, that was Spencer Burford. But, yeah, so anyway, I don't know if that answers it correctly. But, yeah, we have a lot of misses. And, yeah, we have a lot of misses. I don't know where else to go outside that one. That's a web. We can get caught in that one.
Yeah, for sure. I had Amos as 36 on my big board. Watts as 38. And who were the other players he had mentioned?
Yeah,
obviously
I got them right
they're
here.
Lower. They're a little lower.
Swiss, Airsery, and Higgins.
Airsery is 59 on my big board. Higgins is actually 67 on my big board.
Ooh.
Yeah, I have other wide receivers higher than him, believe it or not. That's crazy, right?
Who are the guys you had just ahead of him wide receiver?
I got Jack Beck. He's 52.
You got a second round grade on Beck.
I do.
And I feel like that is everybody's gonna be all over the place on Beck.
I like Beck because from what I watched, he's just a sure first down. Like just a first down. He's just a first down. Like he's a first down. You could depend on him. He's gonna catch it. He's gonna run the route. He's gonna find a hole in the zone. He's just a first down. And he's tough as hell. As far as Yak, you ain't getting none of that. Like that ain't his game. But as far as running to where he needs to be, you know he's going to be there, ready for the catch, great hand. So I have him a little bit higher. Now, I didn't move Restrepo. I didn't.
So he's what 40, round do you have?
He's 41, so he's still around second round. I'm not stuck on the workout. I watched the film, bro. This motherfucker get open like CVS, bro. Like, this dude stay open. Look, at least that's what I see with my eyes. Eyes are wrong. Maybe these glasses suck. I don't know. But he stays open, so I don't get why he ran a 4.8. I tell you what, whatever team he goes to, don't make him run 4.8 routes. Make that cat run them routes where he could get open in the middle of the field. Sounds like a 49er to me. He's going to be a slot machine. Yeah, I said it. Watch.
There you go. I got close to matching it. That was kind of cool.
You was on point, yo. Did you see that?
I didn't know he was playing the sound, but I felt it, and I felt like I won. Now, before we get out of here, one last question we had on Twitter. This has been a fun show, Wade. You've diamonds today, buddy. Nick E. on Twitter asked this, and I like this question. I want to go through this with Wayne. Do you think most of the best edges are suited for a 3-4? Worried the 49ers will look at these guys and say, can't set the edge and draft a bigger edge who can't rush the quarterback. So these smaller guys like James Pierce, Mike Green, Jalen Walker as Raku, Princely, Femi Oladejo, Josiah Stewart, David Walker, this edge class is incredible. What are your thoughts on those smaller guys and their ability to set the edge? I have my answer, but I want to hear from Wayne.
So, like, it's weird, right? Because I understand that size matters, especially when you're trying to set the edge. You're not trying to get blocked out, and you're trying to set the edge for in the run game. I think for me, what I would like the 49ers to do, and these do sound like 3-4 outside linebackers. Let's just keep it a buck. Like that, when you look at their size and their stature, they sound like 3-4 outside linebackers. Even Leonard Floyd, 3-4 outside linebacker. That's what he played his whole career. He comes to San Francisco. He has to play in a 4-3. He's lining up on the line as an edge, and he was still productive, right? So I don't think it matters is what I'm trying to say. I don't think it's going to matter. There's a defensive edge rusher in this draft that he's not in my top 10, but he's definitely somebody to watch. And y'all can miss me with the bias. But Josiah Stewart from Michigan.
Talk about him all the time. I love
if
him.
Y'all motherfuckers want to laugh because he's 6'2", 6'1", 6'2", and 240. Y'all want to laugh about him? I'll tell you what he does. Number one, he plays football. He's just a mean motherfucker from outer space, and for some reason, no matter how small he is, he doesn't get blocked. Like, he sheds the block. It all comes down to their skill sets. And so when it comes to him, he's good at stopping the run and he's great at rushing the passer. And I think that's what you get with all these guys that you mentioned, these undersized guys. James Pierce wasn't bad at stopping the run. He wasn't bad at setting the edge. Mike Green wasn't bad at setting the edge. Like, these guys still did what they needed to do to be menaces in the run game. But you know what they also did? They got to the quarterback. And I want to go back to the D Ford experiment. And I think if you get a healthy guy that has the D Ford ability, what do we call that? Wasn't that called the Leo position or something like that? When you go back to that, I felt like that counterbalance from a defensive front is what was working for Robert Saleh fiercely. Now, yeah, he has some twin towers in the middle, so we address that this year. Maybe we go Derek Harmon. Maybe we go with a bigger guy. Cool, right? But I just feel like you got to get that complimentary edge rusher. They tried with Leonard Floyd. It was working, but then Nick Bosa wasn't on full health go either, and Terry was terrible. Let's keep it a buck. So I think you go with the smaller guy. that you know could get to the quarterback, because sacks matter.
They do. And you don't have that on your team currently. And you start, you remember, Saleh started with Pita Talapinu. You remember
yes,
him?
Yes.
That was the, and it didn't work, right? And then you got D Ford and it worked.
Yes.
And then since then, like, you had Cassius Marsh kind of play that role. One does not simply beat out Cassius Marsh.
Now, I'm taking the Karate Kid kick any day, bro.
And so, like, sticking to this, like, I went through James Pierce, smaller guy. He's got an 84 run grade and sets the edge incredibly well. I will not knock James Pierce against the run. Mike Green, he has a 90 run grade. That dude is stout. Like, I'm not concerned about him setting the edge at all. Jalen Walker, I'm concerned. Jalen Walker actually does not set the edge well from a rush standpoint and had a 62 run grade, the lowest out of all these smaller. I'm out on Jalen Walker. I'm out. He's a freak athlete, and maybe you could develop him into that. I ain't doing it. Ezeraku, 83 run grade, pretty stout against the run. Doesn't anchor as well as some of the other ones. Princely, he sets the edge very well. Mm-hmm. Femi Oladejo, I put him in here because I think 3-4 is where he should go.
Mm-hmm.
But again, he's huge, 78 run grade. He sets the edge well. He has more size than most of these guys. Josiah Stewart, awesome. David Walker, awesome against the run. He might be the best.
He might be the best of the run. Yeah. But again, are you going to take his measurables and count it against him? Because he's 6'1", right?
But
he is 261.
Edge,
yeah.
He can do that.
He can do that. He has the weight. So I get it. Like, there's a type, but what is the 49ers type? Do they have a type? They have the Nick Bosa. They don't need two of those types, right? Like, now, if it was a Myles Garrett, that's a totally different conversation, but I don't think any of these edge rushers coming out are Myles Garrett, in my opinion. Now, I will put this out there. I was going to save it, but I'm going to put this out there. I would not be surprised if at 11 and they go edge, the pick is Shamar Stewart.
Oh.
I would not be surprised. Shamar Stewart and Mykal Williams fit the mold of
I'd be edge. Okay with Mykal Williams.
I know you would. Okay. I know. I mean, I know you're always Texas A&M guys. What I do like from Shamar Stewart, if you're gonna pull up the measurables, then you got to pull up the measurables because no one tested
most
better than
athletic
him.
Defensive end since the relative
athletic score drop. Yeah, right. So if you're
number
gonna pull that
one
up,
out of 2,000 edge players, he's the most athletic.
We're talking full 10-0. The kid plays with a chip on his shoulder. Do you want sacks or do you just want two really good guys that can set the edge? Like, that's what I'm asking. Like, so when I look at him, he could be another Tyrell out there. So if they do look for to go with a guy with a build like a Nick Bosa, the 6'4", I think that's what he is, 260, I think.
6'5", 270, 260.
Yeah. So I you're going with even bigger. Who can kind of, he's kind of like a tweener, right? Like he can kind of, he's kind of like the Sam Okwuanu guy. Like, kind of in between. He could play inside, could play outside. He's quick to play inside. They might
Here's
go with him.
I would say your guy, Donovan Ezeraku, had twice as many sacks as Shamar Stewart had in an entire year in three quarters. Quarters.
John, don't make me laugh.
Twice as many.
Listen, I like Donovan Ezeraku. When people are going to look at him, say, oh, he's light. Yeah. He is.
I would take Donovan over Shamar. I have a late second round on Shamar.
I don't think I didn't say I would take Shamar.
I'm a film guy. You told me film matters.
I said this is what the Niners are going to do. I'm telling you. They're going to look. You know what I'm trying to figure out?
I do.
We do this every single year, and I think every year we get more intensified into what we do because we love it. We're passionate about it, and the Niners don't do anything close to what we think that they should do.
Yeah.
It's fine at the end of the day. But for me, I feel like the Niners need to go opposite of Nick Bosa, get the quick guy off the edge, get some mother freaking sacks added to this game, change the ripple of the game a little bit. If you get a guy down in distance and it's second and 25, you can play pass. You can still stop the run. But dang, man, it's less chance of them getting the first down on the second and 25. Now, they play the old Niners, they were converting that. This new Niners, they need to have a different mindset. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I agree with you. And Silent, appreciate the super chat. This is the last one, I promise. Would love to see Iman Wari and Saleh's defense. I would, too. I don't think they're going to draft a safety. I don't even think they're going to draft one safety.
Nah.
It is the one position that they have. They exceed the roster requirements. They've got like eight of them.
They're going safety in they're going safety in like round 6-7.
They met one safety, and that was Makuba. One. Yeah.
They're going safety in round seven. Don't let it fool you, though. Don't let that fool you.
I'm cool with that. Seventh round, I'm not against safety. I'm just saying that is the one place they actually have depth, and they have projected starters.
100%. 100%. Like, but that doesn't mean
that about any other position.
Doesn't mean that depth is going to be solidified, like it's going to be a battle in camp. I think that depth was brought in to kind of like put a fire under Jair Brown and some of the, you know, whatever. And I think they still go with a guy that they feel like can give. There's some sleepers out there that you can get in the seventh round that I still think could come in here. This is the kid from Nevada, Kiten, whatever his name is, from Nevada. I think you can get, like, I really love the Dan kid from Georgia. Like, Dan, can't think of his, Jan Jackson. I really like that kid from Georgia. You want a guy that can come in and thump. Nobody's talking about Malachi Moore from Alabama. Like, I'm trying to figure out, like, did he do something? Like what is wrong? Like, I don't know.
Those are nuggets. File them away. Wayne, don't miss, man. This has been a blast. This show could have been so long. We just chopping it up. We, like, this is awesome, man. Yeah. Wayne has put the work in, and we are all getting gifts nonstop. Wayne, take the show away, man. This was a blast.
Guys, man, you've been rocking with us forever, faithful, and just please continue to do so. Make sure you support my brother, John, 49ers Rush. He's got the road trips coming up very soon. Draft party underway. Make sure you are in there like swimwear. We'll be back next week. Maybe we'll compare our top 100 boards. I don't know what John has cooking, but I can't wait. I'm here for the task. Love y'all. Keep it faithful to the Bay.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. Carvana makes car buying easy. Isn't that right, hun? Dax? Dax?
Sorry, did you know about this 7-day money-back guarantee?
A week to evaluate seat comfiness, you say?
A week of terrain tests? Yeah, I can test the brake pad resistance at variable speeds.
Make sure all the kids' stuff fits nicely.
Make sure our stuff fits nicely.
Oh, the...
Right. Still need to buy the car. Getting ahead of ourselves here.
Buy your car with Carvana today.